and 201.
Hope you're warm and safe wherever you are listening to America tonight. Still snow in some areas like Philadelphia. When it's all said and done, man, they may have 100 feet. The snow season truly was the blizzard that was in 2010 and tailing off from 2009. Washington supposedly is going to get some snow, too, but we're not here to talk about the weather, at least not that kind of weather. How about the weather in D.C. when it comes to politics? Boy, there are some people very nervous about these upcoming elections, and with Senator Bayh, of course, stepping aside, that just raises the awareness that much more. How many openings are there going to be as one by one a lot of the Democrats are falling to the wayside? It'll be interesting to see the numbers as they shake out the tail end of this year in November after those elections. Also, what's happening to Toyota? Sadly, some of the plants are closing for a couple of days due to some of the blunders. And we wish our friends in Kentucky listening the best, in Georgetown, all those fabulous people who call America tonight, many of the times when they're driving home from their shifts. From what I understand, in a quick call down there, it's 4 days, and then everybody bounces back. But 4 days can take a little chunk out of the old paycheck. So Toyota now has to turn over all the recall documents, and lawsuits are starting to pile up. What does it all mean? We're going to go there. Plus, the nutty woman, and nutty doesn't even do it justice, I'll call her the nutty professor. She was looking for tenure. She goes to a meeting, shoots 3 professors, wounds 3 others. Turns out she had an incredible background that University of Alabama never even looked at. And she should have been charged all the way back to the death of her brother. And the police are saying, well, geez, we missed a few things in that investigation. Sadly, see what happens? You fast forward a couple of decades, and the woman finally loses it again and ends up killing 3 innocent people and severely wounding 3 others. Again, the way people are vetted in academics, because I have several friends that have gone through this process. I mean, it's unbelievable, the hoops. The 2 people I know, one is in Orlando and the other one's at Harvard, and both of them, I mean, it's like every rock in their life was turned over. The only other person that's close to me that's gone through a process like that is a cousin of mine that works for one of the aeronautical companies. And, you know, he said it was like being grilled almost, and he was joking, but of course said it was almost like being waterboarded. So that's why I'm not going to name the company. But anyway, how could they have missed this? I just don't understand. In fact, that was my blunder of the day. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see it there. If you click on it, I've got a list of blunders throughout the past, I don't know, 8, 9 months that we'll throw up every single week. So we'll dive a little bit further into that also here in this first hour. Plus, global warming. We mentioned it last night from the UK, the big shocker, Dr. Phil Jones in the BBC interview. Some of the things that he dropped about global warming, if I were to paraphrase, pretty much he was saying that a lot of it was exaggerated and specifically went through processes. So we're going to talk to Dr. Cal Beisner about that from the Cornwall Alliance. As you know, he went to Copenhagen and was there for the big summit meeting where nothing came out of that. But he'll talk to us now about where this thing is headed, because it certainly looks like global warming legislation is in a big thaw at this point. Big, 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 big one. With the revelations by Dr. Jones and a few other things that have happened as well. So we're going to jump on that in another 10 minutes or so. But right here from the get-go, not global warming, but what happened with President Obama today, committing more money to nuclear power. How about that? We have been screaming about nuclear power, and what about offshore drilling when everybody is worried about the future of energy and what are we going to do and why are we relying so much on foreign oil, and environmentalists want a lot of those platforms shut down. So nobody was treading in that. I shouldn't say nobody, but this administration anyway, certainly they weren't going to tread in that direction. Now they've done a complete 180, and the president is committing $8 billion, I think it is, to what now is going to become nuclear power, to two plants. It might be, yeah, it's $8 billion, to two plants that they're developing in Georgia. Wow. The GOP, this is what they've been screaming about all along, and plenty of people who would be considered centrist Democrats or looking at other alternatives to energy have talked about nuclear power, but always shut down. Dangerous, not where we want to go. My goodness, look what's happened in other places. And in everybody's heads, it's the nuclear reactor and what could possibly go wrong. It's not what's happening in France and how they're harnessing nuclear power and really pretty much 85% even at this point of their homes are powered by it. It was people just didn't make that. They didn't make the leap to what you could do with nuclear power, what it really could be used for. And now this is, as I said, in a completely different direction as the president is renewing the nuclear commitment. I guess I wasn't stunned because we knew this was coming, but that kind of money in the federal loan guarantee for the construction of the first, because it'll be the first nuclear power plant in the United States in three decades. I mean, everything else is on mothballs. This is a huge move in a much different direction. And also jumping on the whole idea of comprehensive energy legislation. So still leaning toward, okay, the cost of the carbon pollution of fossil fuels, giving utility companies more incentives to cleaner nuclear fuel, all that kind of stuff was thrown out there. But again, the specific thing is, in announcing this loan guarantee, that is a huge difference. That's a big win for nuclear power. And I think it's a smart, smart, smart decision. Once you get going in that direction, there's so much you can do with that kind of energy, with the rising cost, with so much that's happened with electricity and the screen to go green, go green, go green. But let's face it, it's not realistic that we're going to get there anytime soon in a manner that's, one, fast enough and that people can afford. So this nuclear way is pretty interesting. And I think you're going to see more. I think you're going to see more of these plants probably pop up. So the proposed budget proposal anyway for 2011 adds $36 billion in those new federal loan guarantees, and some of it would go toward this construction of this plant in Burke County, Georgia. It's just enormous. Wonder how fast they can get it up. That's what I want to know. And like I said, the Republicans have to be dancing in the aisles. I mean, this is pretty bipartisan. However, the environmentalists must be fuming. Imagine what Greenpeace is thinking at this point. All right, Cal Bisner joining us on the flip side here on ATN.
If you like vitamins, say, I like vitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ilikevitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 contains 23 essential vitamins, trace minerals, goji berry, acai, mangosteen, pomegranate, shisandra, citrus seed extract, rhodiola, lycopene, aloe, CoQ10, amalaki, and much more. All that and saves money, too. Now you can get a one-month supply for only $29.97, plus shipping and handling. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to five different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
And I know you're speaking of me.
This on our last show here on America Tonight, the whole global warming fallacy. It's starting to really, pardon the phrase, but melt apart, if you will. We're seeing it happen. And we've talked about it a lot on this show. We've had tons of scientists on. We've talked to a lot of different people who have different points of view about just even the word global warming. And one of our favorite guests is Dr. Cal Beisner from, of course, the Cornwall Alliance. Remember, he was in Copenhagen and was so kind to speak with us a few days afterwards and give us the skinny on all the hot air that was coming out of that gigantic meeting. And I think this interview that Dr. Phil Jones did with the BBC is just another big chunk in the whole idea that global warming is nothing more than a means for people to make money on the big scare. Once again, Cal, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Kate, thanks very much. Glad to be back with you.
You heard what I had to say there, and we've talked about this here on my show for a long time. I mean, really trying to examine it, really being open-minded, talking to all kinds of different people. And when it comes down to the brass tactics of it all, the information, the hardcore information, it really wasn't there. You know, you can, I say this all the time, you can twist numbers and things to go in any direction you want. But I think what happened with Dr. Jones in that interview with the BBC was pretty revealing. And he made only what you could call some pretty shocking revelations, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just published a special edition of the Cornwall Alliance newsletter today that goes into that. If people go to cornwallalliance.org, they can read a list of the things that he admitted or otherwise said in that interview, and they're really quite shocking.
And yet, what when we say it's shocking, of all the things that he talked about, I mean, we know the push from the Al Gores, et cetera, Greenpeace, the Sierra Club, and all that other stuff. And we can even pick out individuals. But one of the things that he talked about is he admitted that he didn't think that the debate on climate change was completely over, but he didn't believe that most of it, what was it, the climate scientists think this, that they don't really believe what's being pushed out there. As I said, it's this. I think it's a big part of it is a big grab for dollars, and people don't know, and they start to listen, and they become alarmed and think, oh, my God, my grandchildren are not going to survive because the glaciers are going to come down and it's going to cover all of New York.
Yeah, you know, Al Gore has been claiming that the debate was over since before the debate began, frankly. And the fact is that the scientists, the real scientists in this, have continued debating this all along. And Phil Jones, the director, until he stepped down back in December because he's under investigation for scientific misconduct, Phil Jones admitted in this interview with the BBC that the debate on climate change is not over, and that he didn't believe that the vast majority of climate scientists thought that the debate was over. Gore, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, the chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, you know, they need to hear that. Greenpeace, World Wildlife Fund, Sierra Club, they need to hear that. You know, and that's not the only thing. I think perhaps just about the most significant thing is that Jones admitted that there was no statistically significant difference between the rates of warming from 1860 to 1880 and from 1910 to 1940 and the rate of warming from 1975 to 1998, though he and other believers in dangerous man-made global warming had for years said that the rate in the last period was unprecedented and therefore couldn't be natural but must be man-made. Essentially, he gave away the entire debate right there.
And that's exactly what I thought, which is why he came up on the radar, obviously, with the BBC interview, but that was the one nugget that you would take out of that, that he has done all that work for all those years, and he's saying that, hey, there isn't the statistics to back it up. So where do you go from there? And if you're the Al Gores, et cetera, you say that the guy's a wacko. You say that, well, you know, this is one guy, we can trot out 20 others. But I think that this has put a real dent in the whole global warming legislation. Do you?
Oh, absolutely, and especially because this is not just sort of one guy. This is the long-term director of the source for the surface temperature data that drove most of the work of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and of the various national climate study groups and things like that. I mean, this is absolutely devastating to the whole case for dangerous man-made global warming. Phil Jones was in control of all that data, or at least anyway should have been. He also acknowledged that he was pretty sloppy in keeping his data records, and that was the reason why he turned down so many requests for sharing of data and computer code that are routine among scientists, but that he treated with great contempt. And initially, most people thought that it was because he was afraid he was going to be refuted. Well, I think that probably was so. He actually had written to one person, you know, why should I share the data with you when your aim is just to prove me wrong? Well, that's what scientists do. But it's clear also, and he acknowledged this in another interview with the BBC, that he simply was so sloppy with all the records that he didn't think he'd be able to find the stuff if he tried.
And then I think, and you pointed this out too, because I've looked up what you sent out. It was great the way you summarized everything about that BBC interview. And the three things that you pointed out that I didn't even think about was the questioning, and that there was one specific, because I listened to the interview, there's one thing that he did where he danced around, I mean, not even danced, he just flat out, as you said, dodged a question about asking one of his colleagues to delete emails that were relating to the IPCC's fourth assessment report. Tell everybody listening to America Tonight that just sounds like gobbledygook why that's significant.
Well, why that's significant is that Freedom of Information Act laws require the proper archiving of information, of data that you do in research that is funded by government grants. That's the case in the United Kingdom. It's the case in the United States. And Phil Jones, in an email to Michael Mann, who is the rather infamous creator of the famous or also infamous hockey stick graph that purported to show stable climate for 1,500 years and then sudden increase in temperature in the last 100 years or so, Jones asked Mann in an email to please delete all his emails related to a particular issue in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and said, "I've already done that myself, and I'm asking, and will you please ask so-and-so to do the same?" I mean, that is an overt attempt to avoid Freedom of Information Act laws and to completely subvert the scientific process, because the whole heart of scientific process is that your work has to be replicable. Other scientists have to take the same data, the same computer code, the same formulae, and discover that, by golly, they give the same results you say that they did. And if you don't provide the raw data, if you don't provide the computer code, then replicability disappears and you don't have science anymore.
Yeah, it's, I mean, so interesting. I'll be curious to see where those that really push the whole agenda of global warming, where that goes. I think they will still try to discredit Dr. Phil Jones in any way they can and go from there.
But of course, that's a really dangerous thing for them to try to do, Kate, because they have worked very closely with him for 20 years.
Yeah.
He has been one of the key insiders on the whole thing. If they discredit him, they discredit themselves as well, which, frankly, has already been done by the thousands of emails that were leaked out of the University of East Anglia's Climate Research Unit. Those emails clearly demonstrated that these scientists, a group of perhaps a dozen and a half or so, at the very core of the IPCC, had fabricated data, fudged data, exaggerated data, cherry-picked data, destroyed data when it didn't look good to them, had intimidated dissenting scientists, had blackballed editors of journals that dared to publish the dissenting scientists, had completely corrupted the peer review process. I mean, the scientific misconduct here is enormous, and it's been called by quite a few people the greatest scandal, the greatest scientific scandal of our time.
Oh, we're going to end on that note. You're absolutely right. Greatest scientific scandal of our times. Once again, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Cal. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in the near future.
Kate, thanks again. Take care and God bless.
Thank you. You too. So you can see, as Dr. Cal says, Dr. Phil Jones, 20 years, the key insider, it's all falling apart at the seams. Global warming, do you believe in it in just a little bit or not? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C. until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door?
Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
America, do you think global warming is one big scam? Well, if the main source perpetrating the myth that we have global warming rapidly ready to hit us square in the face, if he is cracking apart and admitting that the numbers don't add up, statistically it's all the same, you could take different times in our recent decades, recent three decades, and all the numbers are the same, give me a break. It's a multi-billion dollar scam is what it is. That's what it is. You listen to the BBC interview, and I swear you will believe. I don't think that what we're seeing here is actually true. When we look at, like I did this, I went through, and I said I did this with an open mind. And talk to several people about, let's call it the melting, the great big melt, the polar ice that it's going to melt, and it's going to cause the sea level to rise, and we're going to drown who's ever around at that time. But here's the thing, 91% or more of the world's glacial ice is in the Antarctica. Now, if we move America Tonight up there, maybe we'd be a little bit worried. The average temperature, though, is around minus 40 degrees Celsius. So let me see. I wasn't great at science, but the melting point of ice is, bingo, 0 degrees. So for the ice to melt on any scale, the Antarctic temperatures would need to rise by around 40 degrees. I haven't been able to find anybody who is predicting that. I haven't found anybody. And so the U.S. is currently considering legislation that would enact incredible restrictions on carbon emissions. And you have already, high taxes, high insurance costs, a ridiculously struggling economy. I don't care if they tell us the recession is over or not. How many people do you know who are out of work and can't find work? So now we're going to have to take on another burden. I could barely get out of my mouth. Cost of, what was it they were saying, about $1,600 or more per person to fight global warming? They've been talking about maybe even a ban on meat consumption, air travel, other things, other sort of life restrictions. Not sort of, but life restrictions. So I think you pretty much know where I stand. I went into this whole thing with a very, very open mind. And trust me, I've said this. I've got, in my personal life, I have friends all across the scope who are probably now cringing if they hear me say this on the air, because they truly believe that there is global warming. I'm not saying you can't conserve certain things. I'm not saying you have to have every light on in your house on, and you have to have a electricity coursing pretty much almost through your veins, or you don't want to recycle some things. I'm not saying there's things we can't do to help the environment, but on the overall scale of what's trying to, or I think what's being perpetrated onto us, would burden us with even that much more money. And when I hear things about how a house, you'd have to have certain things in a house before you sell it that they would raise the bar as far as being green, none of us would be able to sell houses. So whatever house that you move into, unless you have a lot of coin, you'd have a hard time, I think, rising to the restrictions that are being proposed. Now, having said that, I think the whole global warming legislation thing is going to be shelved again. I don't see this flying through the Senate anytime soon. And this deal with Phil Jones, with this respected doctor, the guy who was heading the Prince of Wales institution, or favorite AGW promotion institution, the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia, he's coming apart. All that information is coming apart, and he's saying it. He's admitting it. And with those emails, that's where it all started. And there still is a possibility of the whole criminal prosecution thing, too, which would mean this doctor might face 10 years or so on fraud charges. So here's a guy who's done this for however many years, 20-some years, and he's basically saying that he's perpetrated this, that he's thrown out information that's false. And it's interesting, too, because he's been asked in the past about turning over data, scientific data. Because, I mean, look, we're all open to this. If there is scientific data, show it to us. Show it to us. I'll believe. But the problem is the scientists who are warm to global warming won't make it available. They say because it'll be criticized. And he's one of the people who constantly said that when he was asked about some raw climate information. He said that, why should I make it available? Because this is my life's work. It might look wrong, and might give off a wrong conclusion, which is central to science. And the truth of it was, he really couldn't survive the scrutiny, and now that's happened because of ClimateGate and the emails coming out, and where he's at this point in the investigation. So you know where I stand on global warming. Where do you stand? You can also flip me an email at americatonight.net or 800-259-5791. I mentioned this at the top of the show. I said this was one of the biggest stories of the day, the fact that Obama's pumping $8 billion in a guarantee into this Georgia plant that's going to be able to produce nuclear power. And it's been 3 decades since we've had another plant go up. So this is huge, huge news. I mean, Obama's going to the nuke. He wants a couple of new plants, too, in Georgia. So here's what he had to say specifically about energy in general and moving in this direction earlier in the day.
We've already made the largest investment in clean energy in history as part of the Recovery Act, an investment that is expected to create more than 700,000 jobs across America, manufacturing advanced batteries for more fuel-efficient vehicles, upgrading the power grid so that it's smarter and it's stronger, doubling our nation's capacity to generate renewable energy. And after decades in which we have done little to increase the efficiency of cars and trucks, we've raised fuel economy standards to reduce our dependence on foreign oil while helping folks save money at the pump. But in order to truly harness our potential in clean energy, we're going to have to do more. And that's why we're here. In the near term, as we transition to cleaner energy sources, we're going to have to make some tough decisions about opening up new offshore areas for oil and gas development. We'll need to make continued investments in advanced biofuels and clean coal technologies, even as we build greater capacity in renewables like wind and solar. And we're going to have to build a new generation of safe, clean nuclear power plants in America.
Okay, so the gist of it again, this loan guarantee will help the Southern Company, that's what it is, build two reactors. And the idea is to jumpstart nuclear power, that industry, after we've had all these decades where it's been in mothballs. No new plants have been built. And the hope is that this will be more progress on energy and push us into the in the future. So there's all kinds of conversations going on. However, there is still what I was talking about, piggybacking off of global warming, the push for a law that would cap greenhouse gas emissions from industry and expand the use of renewable energy like wind and solar. Wind and solar aren't a bad idea. We go back to the affordability thing. In my neighborhood, probably three blocks over, there is a he's got to be a millionaire. He bought three pieces of land, three houses, bulldozed them down, put up his own estate, and he has a windmill in the backyard. So he's got solar power. He also has a lot of money in the bank, so bravo for him. But he can afford to do it. And we go back to the affordability thing. What happens to these industries if they can't possibly get anywhere near the greenhouse gas emission standards that would be out there? You know, you've got this climate bill that's sitting around, and this idea of the nuclear energy, I think, is a good one. But the idea of when these things take place and also these caps, you know, the cap and trade would cripple so many people. And it's not the way to solve the energy problem. But I think it is a step in the right direction to do the nuclear power plant thing. I think that's, you know, bravo. That's the way to do it. Using more nuclear power, more reactors, I think that's a great thing because you got cleaner, it's a cleaner energy source, let's face it. Of course, people that are relying on coal to make a living won't completely like this idea, and that goes back to the whole greenhouse gases things and gas thing and whether or not the legislation were to go through or what happens with the Environmental Protection Agency's right and what they're saying to regulate greenhouse gas. Because that's one thing. That's one thing this president could do. If Congress doesn't do anything, which I don't think anything's going to happen with that climate bill, then the president could go to the Environmental Protection Agency and push on the EPA to really clamp down and regulate greenhouse gases. And it's going to get interesting. Because nuclear power is controversial, to say the least, because of what? Why would people be worried about this, the radioactive waste, which is now stored on site at reactor locations around the country. So what happens when you have these two reactors? It's going to cost $8-something billion to build, which is already out there. And they could be up and running by 2016 and 2017. So I think it's jump-starting the nuclear industry. 800-259-5791. Back with Odds and Ends next.
We are now in 2010. Change is the buzzword. Politics are changing in the negative direction. How about positive change? Thousands of customers have experienced positive change. Yes, thousands. How? By logging on to GetTheTea.com. Thousands of people have lost weight or felt better or experienced extra energy just by drinking Life Change Tea. Now, that's why they called it Life Change Tea, because it changes your life for the positive. Life Change Tea's natural ingredients go to work on your body, cleansing harmful chemicals and toxins from your system, which makes you fat and lethargic. Do you want a life change? Log on and join the thousands. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Oh, and by the way, it tastes great. So call us right now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture products today.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Okay, so tossing odds and ends. Every year there's this deal in New York City called the Westminster Kennel Club Show. It's been around for a very long time, and I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. I'm a new dog owner, but regardless, late night TV, you're flipping around. You see it on, might even be on ESPN. I'm not sure, but you see it somewhere. So, of course, everything has to be turned into a controversy. Protesters in the middle of it, in the final minutes, I guess, of the show, tried to steal the spotlight from the dog that won Best in Show, and the dog that won Best in Show was a dog named Sadie the Scotty, and it didn't work out, I guess, because people just blew it up, you know, just pay attention, and they got the nutball out soon enough that it didn't completely destroy the end of the show. It's interesting in going through the types of dogs. They've done this for 134 years, so obviously somebody's watching it, and they do it every single year at Madison Square Garden. So if nobody cared about this, they wouldn't have the biggest stage you could possibly have in the U.S. You know how Chihuahuas are big with people? There was a Chihuahua. I happened to see a picture of it. It's cute. Had like, I always think it's weird when people put clothes on dogs, but I have to admit, there was this one-year-old blue Chihuahua had this sort of flower dress on. And looked pretty cute. I don't think I would ever do that. I have a manly dog. I don't think I would do that to my dog, but Hey, different strokes for different folks. Hey, you have all kinds of dogs, like old English sheepdogs are there. Scotty, of course, Scotty wins the competition. You have pugs and, you know, any kind of breed that you can imagine, except for the mutts. There's no mutts. I don't know, Matt, I think they should have a category for mutts. I don't believe they do, however. It's, you have to have, it has to have a pedigree. One of the dogs that is, you know, 100% guaranteed, whatever, Maltese. So they don't have a mutt competition, but I think it'd be cool if they did. He doesn't care about dogs. And he's like, whatever. The things that they do with the hair and with the, it's like that movie, one of my favorite movies is Best in Show. If you want a good laugh, rent Best in Show. So for odds and ends, haha, to the people who tried to come between the folks that were at the show and their dogs, it didn't work. Their little protest didn't actually gain very much attention whatsoever. And in the end, the show went on and went off really without a hitch. How about that? Also, making odds and ends on this evening includes this one, a CNN poll that came out. I don't know that this is a shocker. We've already talked about this. In fact, I did a show on it and asked you, do you think Obama goes for another term? He recently did an interview 3 weeks ago on ABC where he said, I'd rather be a good one-term president than be an okay two-term president. I thought that was sort of a little bit of foreshadowing of what could come. Well, this CNN poll revealed some interesting numbers. 52% say Obama doesn't deserve re-election in 2012. 44% of all Americans said they would vote to re-elect the president in 2.5 years, less than the slight majority who said they would prefer to elect someone else. So the Prez, in this one anyway, in the CNN opinion research poll, faces a 44-52 deficit in both all Americans and registered voters. So the re-election numbers are slightly more sour, I guess you would say, if we were trying to figure out a way to digest this, than Obama's approval ratings, which are basically tied. 49% of the people told CNN that they approve of the way Obama is handling his job. 50% disapprove. But you know what? 2012 is so far down the road. I mean, let's face it, you got the midterm elections, which are huge. They're large. That's the focus now, because Republicans are hoping with this dissatisfaction across the nation, they can take advantage, while some of the Democrats are bailing. And in some of these races, it's looking a lot closer than it normally would have been. And I think that's where the focus is. When you want to run for president, yeah, you got to be out there ahead of the curve, but not that far out ahead, I don't think. So 2012, a lot could happen. And let's face it, the economy is what everybody is concerned about. If people are making money, feeling good, they're able to survive and maybe thrive, then it's just how it is. It's a different attitude across the nation, east, west, south. I don't care where you are. All of us know that. When you're struggling, even if you have a great attitude, it's tough. When you're fighting to keep your head above water, it's tough to feel confident about where you're headed and where the direction of the nation is headed. I think the president, depending on the economy, that's what will really sway big time as to what happens in 2012 and what happens with health care or health insurance reform too. All right, speaking of politics and someone's fate, there have been a lot of rumors about the governor of New York, David Paterson, and we made him our Cry Me a River poster boy for the week on a previous show because I'm tired of him whining, getting in front of the microphones and saying how it's rumors and wrong, and, you know, there wasn't this, I don't care how scandalous it is, I'm not going to resign, and, you know, that's not true, and I'm not thinking of resigning, and on and on and on. Well, finally, the New York Times story drops because everybody wants to know, well, what's the scandal? He's already admitted to fooling around with a lot of women. He did that when he first came into office, so it can't be that. What else is it? Well, what it is his right-hand man in the governor's administration, his aide, one of his aides, David Johnson, his name is, one, is making, you know, over $130,000 a year. But two, the 37-year-old was charged with selling coke to an undercover cop when he was 18. He pled guilty, was sentenced to 5 years probation, got nailed for it a couple of different times. Also, in the Times article, they talk about the fact that he punched a girlfriend in October. The governor's office is disputing it and says, you know, he wasn't charged in this. But then you dig a little bit deeper, and there have been a couple of times where the police have been called out for this aide and his problems with women, his hot temper. So the right-hand man of the gov in New York is a former intern turned driver that rose all the way through the inner circle and then got to the highest level you can get to. He was his campaign strategist and really what you would call a gatekeeper. So he's got a prominent position in New York politics. And I think this is part of what's starting to drag on Patterson and why he was so defensive about it, especially since some very specific things were laid out in the Times article. And a lot of people in New York politics are worried about his idea to, or not his idea, about his ability to pick the right people to delegate to the people around him, making mistakes with this aide for one, and then a couple of other people. It didn't help that they released the salary, and then talked about the times that police have been called to his home for allegations about what happened with a woman. But I don't think he's going to resign. I think this guy is the kind of governor. He's the kind of guy that he's just going to duke it out. He's just going to fight it out. And whether or not the clowns around him, they dig up more stuff about who's running what in the state and who went through the ranks and was an intern, and all of a sudden the next thing you know they're making six figures. He'll still try to weather it, but the problem will be, what will the voters perceive? Will they think that, you know, hey, this guy, well, first of all, it's going to come down to taxes, same thing. And the money situation in New York, which is brutal in parts of New York. So that's probably what will take him down in the re-election bid anyway. But it doesn't help to have nasty things released about the people that he relies on the most, that he delegates the most to. We've seen this happen before, though, in politics, haven't we? Have any thoughts on global warming or anything else that we talked about here in this hour of America Tonight? Please send them to me at americatonight.net.
You have mail, mistress.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time!